This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Washington, D.C. What do we want to talk about?
Nice job, Mad Max. Welcome back. Hour number three still to come. Alex Ovechkin didn't score on Saturday as part of a 6-goal in 25-minute outburst by the Washington Capitals, but he did have a couple of assists, and he did score on Thursday. And you will hear it, because that's how we do.
That's right, baby.
Caps in Winnipeg tomorrow night. Their lack of a practice schedule at home is
made it difficult.
Is killing me right now. I'll just leave it at that. I won't complain too much.
I've heard enough of it.
It's just killing me right now. But anyway, that's coming up. Right now, you know what? It is finally here. Just how bad you guys are. So through the first round of the NCAA tournament, 32 games, right? I guess I'll just leave it at the 32 games. In the four play-in games, which we also had people pick, Little and Stevie Ray got that assignment. Little was 1-1.
You suck.
And Stevie Ray was 1-1 as well.
You suck.
No, be nice. But through the first round of the NCAA tournament, in the South Regional, which is Auburn, Michigan, Michigan State, you guys were 7-1.
Pretty good.
Yeah. In the West Regional, Maryland, Florida, St. John's, you guys were 6-2. 6-2. So on that side of the bracket, 13-3, not bad. A lot of chalk, right?
A lot of chalk, yeah.
In the first round of the NCAA tournament in the East, you guys were 5-3, right? We had you pick two games at random. You didn't have any idea where the games were going to be until I gave them to you live on the air. There was no analysis. Nobody knows anything. Okay, nobody pays attention to half of these teams, if not 90% of these teams. And then everybody wants to act like a college basketball expert. Bullcrap, they're not. But anyway, you guys went 5-3 in the East region. In the Midwest, you went 5-3 as well. So on that side of the bracket, you were 10-6, combined with the 13-3, you were 23-9 through 32 games. And if you want, you know, you can expand it, including the play-in games, 25-11, okay, if you want. 23-9. So much to my surprise, when I walked in today, Max was showing me the numbers, because he officially entered your picks that you made on this show, and that we had to then clean up and pick the rest of the bracket to fill out the remaining teams.
Boy, did we try.
We had a meeting of the minds on Wednesday afternoon. and we were left to pick up the garbage from what you guys, the stench that you guys left behind. And we had to go with the teams that were available. It's not like we were picking games based on who we think or whatever. I mean, we did pick games on who we think, but it was, hey, you guys had Maryland losing in the first round.
That they did.
We couldn't pick Maryland to the Sweet 16. They weren't available.
We picked UNC to the Sweet 16
yes.
as well.
We had Pauly pick Norfolk State over Florida. Boy, did that not go well for us. Anyway, the point is, you guys were 23-9 after round one. And I was thinking, hey, you know what? Not bad. A bunch of random knuckleheads not knowing anything about college basketball. It kind of proves my theory. It's all about filling out the bracket. Nobody knows anything. Nobody cares about anything. You care about gambling. You care about March Madness and cute little sayings and Elite Eights and Sweet 16s and Final Fours and the road to the Final Fours and student managers with a boombox that all of a sudden become a celebrity. You care about all that stuff. You don't care about the games, the teams, the players. You don't know, right? And then I walk in and Max shows me the numbers. And Max?
Yeah, Chris.
They were not very good.
No, not at all.
After two rounds, we went from 23-9, which is a pretty good winning
it's
percentage.
Not bad,
right?
Yeah.
Like, what is that, 72%-ish, 73%, somewhere in that
something
range?
Something like that.
Yeah?
I think.
Yeah?
Math's never been my strong suit.
How are we looking now?
So I've entered this bracket onto the ESPN Bracket Challenge in the Team 980 Showdown group.
Which is our interstation.
It's not even the interstation. So Denton put it out. You could join before the tournament started. There are 27 entrants.
Okay. Oh, so it was listeners too?
Yes.
Okay.
And we can't give any, no prizes or anything, just a good pat on the back from everybody here at the station. But you guys rank 27 out of 27.
No.
Yes.
I
will show you.
No.
The ESPN Bracket Challenge has a 15.8%. I believe that's teams remaining or correct picks because it's really rough.
I mean, we went 23 and I did pick one game. I picked Arkansas over Kansas. In the 10-7. So that's got to be, there's no way they could have gone from like 72-73%, whatever it was, at 23-9, down to 15%, right? So it's got to be 15% of the field
of the remaining field,
I would assume, right?
I would think, because
it doesn't exactly specify that.
No. We had Creighton making a run. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
It could have happened, but it didn't. That would have helped a lot of people in this bracket.
Well, let's give you some more detail, okay? First of all, just real quickly, you mentioned Creighton, right?
Mm-hmm.
The teams that are still remaining that we actually have like a chance on, Duke, okay? Got them going to the Final Four. All right. Against VCU.
Yeah,
didn't even make it out of the first round.
That was
incredibly stupid take.
Wait a second. Is there somebody on the show that went to VCU?
I can't remember.
Mm. Anyway, we'll try and discover that. But anyway,
I'll investigate.
That was bad. Duke over VCU. In the Midwest, we had Houston. Ding, 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 ding.
Houston over Kentucky, which is still very, very possible.
Absolutely. Now, again, not guaranteed that Houston and Kentucky are going to win their Sweet 16 games. That's the Elite Eight matchup with Houston winning. But for right now, we're still alive. Then we had Michigan and New Mexico in the Elite Eight. Michigan beating Creighton. New Mexico beating North Carolina. Who you said we had going to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
There's Houston. We have a problem. Well, not that Houston. Hello. We have a problem. New Mexico, gone. Michigan, still alive, right?
Yep.
Okay. But we had New Mexico beating Michigan. That's bad.
Tough.
Then here's where it really gets lean.
Just gets off the rails.
Because Lou, who thinks he knows everything, and gets all over my ass about being negative, hates Maryland for whatever reason he has. He picked Grand Canyon, who only lost by 33 to Maryland on Friday. He picked Grand Canyon to win, so obviously we don't have Maryland going even past the first round. But then on top of that, we had Paulie, who thinks he knows everything, pick Norfolk State over Florida, as we previously mentioned. Then we had UConn. Jonesy picked them over Oklahoma. He was correct. But then UConn to beat Norfolk State, which was, again, a Jonesy pick. And UConn going to the Elite Eight, and they were eliminated yesterday. And Dan Hurley's busy crying and whining and telling, who was it?
The Baylor coaching staff.
Yeah, the Baylor coaching staff. Ah, good luck. They suck. I hope they don't screw you.
More on that later.
Then it gets worse. We had St. John's.
Yeah.
St. John's.
Beating
Arkansas. I can't read my handwriting as to who made the St. John's pick. I picked Arkansas over Kansas. I think Little, maybe. I can't read my handwriting. picked St. John's over Omaha. Okay, fine. But then you and I picked St. John's over Arkansas. Despite my love for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Shout out, Woo Pig.
Woo Pig Suey, baby! John Calipari said, screw you, Rick Pitino. Go ahead, bench your best player. We don't care. In a two-point game with 5 minutes left, never to see daylight again. And we had St. John's going all the way to the national championship game. They won one game.
Yep.
Now, luckily, for now, we had Houston, who almost lost, by the way, over the weekend. Luckily, we had Houston beating Gonzaga and making it also to the national championship game. Now, again, these picks were as a result of the picks that you all made on the air in random selections on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of last week. So again, Max and I had to clean up the carnage or the garbage, whichever way you look at it, and we had to pick teams that were left remaining, meaning we could not have picked Florida because Paulie picked Norfolk State over Florida, even though he tried to change it. I still went with his first answer. Plus, it's fun to be able to bust Paulie's chops to no end about picking Norfolk State over Florida. But again, Lou, who thinks he knows everything as well, picked Grand Canyon over Maryland. So we got double screwed and really quadruple screwed in the West with our faith that St. John's would win a nip and tuck game with Arkansas, not knowing Rick Pitino would bench his best player with 5 minutes left to go in a two-point deficit, never to see the light of day again, and that St. John's would go down with barely a whimper and not only not make it to the national championship game, they wouldn't make it to the third round. So as a result, you guys have put us in an unenviable position of being an absolute embarrassment. Max, what did you say again? We were this show, the callers to this show, and therefore you and I, by extension,
well,
again, we had to clean up the garbage. We had to clean up the stench.
That we did.
We are 27.
27
out of 27.
Ranked 20.1 million out of all ESPN entered brackets.
Holy crap.
With the least amount of points remaining on the board. So we have locked up dead last in the Team 980 pool.
Who's first? Do you know?
I can find out rather quickly, if it will let me pull it up.
I wonder if it's somebody that actually knows something about college basketball, because it's very clear in a chalkity chalk tournament that you guys weren't playing chalkity chalk.
Yeah, special shout out to Dave Lowry's picks.
I don't know who Dave Lowry is.
I don't know who Dave Lowry is either.
He's a listener.
I'm certain he's a listener. Shout out.
All right. Does it say who anybody that you would recognize in terms of personalities or
nobody in particular? Okay. Denton ranks 18th.
Ooh, that's not that good.
No,
for somebody that loves college basketball, it's not that good. All right, so here's the deal. A, again, just
Sheen ranks say even
this,
worse.
I say this with a smile on my face, but you guys suck. Secondly, incredibly stupid take. You suck. Secondly, not only do you guys suck, but in the chalkiest of chalky tournaments, outside of St. John's, I guess, who's the only top seed to lose, we are like suckier than suck.
You talk about skunked.
Yeah. Like we're pond scum. You know, pond scum is like, you know, the layer of stuff that you might see.
The algae on top of the water.
Exactly. There you go. There you go. We are the pond scum of picks. There was somebody who said last week, less calls and bust your basketballs. Well, our basketballs have been busted. And so has our bracket. But we should still take less calls because, man alive, do you guys know nothing. And I'm blaming you. Not me. Not Max. We had to clean up the wreckage.
You. I'm pointing at the phones.
We take partial responsibility. You guys stink. You guys are terrible. And it also shows this whole tournament is just the most random of random of random that you can possibly get. I was right all along. According to OptiStats, this is the first time the Sweet 16 is composed entirely of major conference teams since the Sweet 16 began in 1975. I was 2 years old. I'm 51 now. That's 49 years. Only four different conferences are represented in the Sweet 16. Every other Sweet 16 has had at least seven conferences represented. Only four conferences are represented this year. And it's the first time only major conferences are represented since 1975. That's pretty incredible. This is also the first time since 2007 that an NCAA tournament Sweet 16 field will not have a team seeded 11th or worse since 2007. That's 16 straight tournaments with at least one team seeded 11th or worst. And that was the longest streak, now busted, since 1979. Mm. 21 minutes after the hour on the Team 980. Just another gentle reminder. You guys stink. You suck. It ain't us. But I love you anyway on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, before we get to our guy, Double A, we mentioned Dan Hurley, UConn losing to Florida yesterday in a tightly contested game. Emotions all over the place, officiating controversies. But in the hallway, Dan Hurley said something to Baylor, who was coming out, right? The on-court warm-ups at these regional sites, you start right away. I mean, literally, as Maryland was doing their post-game interviews, moments after the Derrick Queen shot, you see the Oregon and Arizona players on the court right behind them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they start immediately. So Baylor's coming out. UConn's going out or back to the locker room. Dan Hurley basically says, oh, you know, I hope they don't screw you like they screwed us, basically, using loose language.
I've got the whole clip.
So we have what Dan Hurley said, correct?
I have the whole CSL, the Charlotte Sports News clip.
Okay.
Including what he said.
Okay, so now you have to pay attention to this because there is some controversy about whether or not this should have been aired for public and dirty laundry. Why don't you take a listen?
That's the video that's gone viral online of UConn head coach Dan Hurley voicing his displeasure with the referees and the Huskies' loss to the number one ranked Florida Gators. Charlotte Sports Live's own Joey Ellis took that video and then was confronted by UConn Director of Communications Bobby Mullen. Mullen asked for that video that had gone viral to be removed. He then threatened Joey, saying he would, quote, ruin his life if he didn't. This was heard by multiple other reporters and staff on hand. Our management asked Mullen for a statement on the incident, and here's what he said. The lasting image of Coach Hurley leaving the court should have been his walking off the court arm in arm with the seniors, overwhelmed with emotion. Instead, a reporter who was in an area he should not have been recorded on his cell phone a private comment made to members of another coaching staff, end quote. Charlotte Sports Live and Queen City News stand by Joey Ellis's reporting.
All right. Great job by Mad Max getting that all together for us. So I had not heard of this reporter. Apparently it's Queen City News that he works for. They are the television home of the Carolina Panthers, I guess for preseason football or whatever and coverage. So UConn SID, as you just heard, Bobby Mullen, who's available on X at BMull, M-U-L-L, 74.
Air him out.
Yeah. Went after this reporter, Joey Ellis, threatened to, again, ruin his life, threatened him in general. And Mullen today deleted a tweet that he had made in response that made light of the alleged threat to Joey Ellis's life.
Oh, did he now?
Yeah. So I saw this before the show, and I thought...
We should have saved this for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Well, we have another one.
Of course, there always was.
Yes. So I thought... I'm trying to find it here. In my favorites, because that's how I sort of kind of remember things.
I got to get you on the bookmarks train.
Yeah, I don't do the bookmarks, which pisses some people off that look at my likes and say... it's because that I like certain things.
Your likes are private now, buddy.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's going on. But anyway, here it is. So the tweet, right? What I'm looking at is the video. The tweet itself was basically, again, the UConn SID saying that the reporter was in the wrong place at and again violated a certain confidentiality and whatnot. I can't find the exact word. Oh, he said the lasting image. Well, you just heard it. The
yeah.
Lasting image, you know, him walking off arm in arm and overwhelmed with, you know, stress and whatever. Anyway, he's trying to justify his threats to the reporter. Okay. Now, what we don't have right now is exactly what he said to the reporter, other than what is being reported. So the bottom line is, I understand the SID being a little frustrated. I do.
Yeah.
I get it. Especially if you're in an area that media is not supposed to be in, and something like this goes viral. Now, personally, I don't think what Dan Hurley did or said was all that out of bounds?
No.
He was frustrated after a loss, frustrated with officiating?
And that's like typical Dan Hurley behavior.
Yeah.
It's not out of pocket for him.
The problem is you can't have an SID threatening the life or the job or the well-being, especially with lunatics going around in our society today and our world today, you know, basically trying... Because you know what's going to happen. They find out who the reporter is. They make their head coach look bad. The two-time defending national champions, they're mad about the loss, even though it was a closely contested game and somewhat expected, if not totally expected, that they were going to lose. And all of a sudden, this guy's life is in jeopardy. Joey Ellis. What in the world would make an SID, essentially somebody who is supposed to represent and work in concert with the media, what in the world would make you go, oh, yeah, this is what we want to do?
Like the administrative voice of a team, of an organization.
This is a good idea, right? Now, maybe in the heat of the moment, I said some things in the heat of the moment about Liddell last Wednesday. I was pissed off. I was frustrated. So maybe I shouldn't say, well, in the heat of the moment, but you get, yeah, I can say that. In the heat of the moment, I probably said something I shouldn't have said. In the heat of the moment, this guy said something he shouldn't have said. The difference is I ain't threatening anybody's life.
Yeah, you didn't threaten well-being to take Linnell's job or anything like that.
The difference is by this guy identifying who the reporter is, by this guy saying what he said, and it becoming a news story, he is putting this guy's life, in his well-being, in jeopardy. That's the difference. All right. Let's blow the clock some more. Let's get to my guy, Double A. Sorry, Double A. I had to get through that and get into that. How are you, pal?
I'm good, but you don't have to apologize for what you said about Linnell because he deserved it and then some. So that's the way I start my call. I mean, you know, I got you know, as far as this guy with Connecticut, I mean, most of these people, you know, they're in these positions, they make a lot of money, and they think they walk on water. And he got caught thinking that the reporter's like a nobody, and probably going to have to apologize, maybe even pay a few bucks to get out of it. But I talked to Max about, you know, bad management when I called in. And, you know, it's kind of like what Maryland has had for years, you know, even at the end of Gary's career. They just haven't had the right people here. And there's like this rumor, I don't know how true it is, that Jeff Bezos has like a fetish for like Maryland teams. He's really become a fan of like a lot of, goes to a lot of Maryland events and stuff. You're telling me that you can't get that guy along with all the people invested in these teams in this area, like Ted Leonsis and the Redskins ownership group and all them, to help with the NIL at Maryland? I mean, I just don't buy it. So I really think, if anything, they just need to get better people, you know, the right people, like they did with Washington, the right people in there. And speaking of right people, you can also talk about wrong people, because you got to have Tom Lavero on your show after what you saw with Jaden over the weekend when he was talking to that girl, you know, getting his Mac on. He was laughing. She was laughing.
Y'all
He's all
so
teasing and everything.
This.
And then
you.
Here comes Cruella DeVille. Here comes Cruella DeVille on her broomstick,
Cruella
okay,
DeVille.
To land in the middle of it.
That's great. I will tell you this. We haven't brought this up. I saw that video, and Juju Watkins sits right next to him, and then the next thing you know is Mama is in between them, and she's like, hey, honey, I know who you are, but you ain't good enough for my boy. My boy is staying my boy. I ain't sharing him with nobody. No gravy train. I don't care who you are.
She had that wicked witch look on her face,
oh,
too. She looked pissed.
Oh,
she had just come back from getting popcorn or going to the pisser or something, and she was like, how dare you? You know, that type of thing. I mean, she made sure she sat in the middle of them. And guess what? That type of BS is gonna go into contract negotiations in here in 2 years. That's why I'm telling you, you got to bring Lavero on the show. Tom Lavero has had interactions with his mother to the point where he has told her, I am going to tape record this conversation. Excuse my language. That's how much of a bitch she is, okay? That's it. It is what it is, okay?
You know, I mean, that might be strong. I can't call her that. I mean, she seems
I don't work for the station.
I know. No, I understand. She seems very controlling. Let's put it that way, right? And she seems very much, I am going to control his fate and destiny off the field, which as mom and agent, I understand some of. I don't love. I have no idea if there's any sort of anything other than two great athletes there. I have no idea. But did the optics, I wouldn't say they looked bad. They just looked funny. And to your point, she's been very ultra involved in Jaden Daniels' career. and did some things that weren't appreciated, I know, by some people at Arizona State, and it remains to be seen what impact she has moving forward. It remains to be seen. I think there is some sort of potential worry spot here. I'm not really worried, but there is some sort of potential worry spot in my eyes. And obviously it sounds like in your eyes.
Hey, listen, Chris, at the end of the day, worry spot, just like you mentioned earlier, was us going as a group, like 27 out of 27. Hey, your boy here was 2-0, and you know how your boy Lou calls in and criticizes everybody, myself included. I think Lou is like the Benjamin St. Juice of your callers. Like, he's just going to end up, like, losing the game at the end of the day with a handsy penalty. And then Paulie's Paulie. Paulie picked Norfolk State, I think, just to piss you off. But, I mean, at the end of the day, what a weekend of sports is the way I wrap up my call.
Attaboy.
And maybe it was harsh. And if Mrs. Daniels is out there, I apologize. I shouldn't have called you the B word, but I was on a roll. And you are pretty controlling, and you're emasculating your son. So knock it off. There, that's a little bit better. Cruella DeVille.
Thank
you. Suits are better.
Thank you. Oh, God. Oh, I'm going to get a call about that, aren't I?
Probably.
Oh. Let me be clear. I did not say that.
No, it was not Chris.
And also, let me be clear. There's no FCC guideline that says we're not allowed to criticize somebody. Let me just say that. Okay. Yes, let's go to break right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we'll do a quick one here. Lots of college basketball news with Maryland on their way to the Sweet 16 to take on Florida Thursday night right here on the Team 980. Xavier Sean Miller is leaving the program once again to become the new head coach at Texas. Xavier beat Texas in a play-in game last Wednesday night in Dayton, Ohio. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Gophers have hired Nico Medved, who just coached Colorado State to a heartbreaking last-second loss to Derrick Queen in Maryland last night. The Minneapolis native taking over his hometown school. And one other one for you. Actually, we'll bypass that for right now. Sorry, a lot going on here, and a lot of things are still up in the air. The Nationals have been postponed in their final spring tune-up, but this time it was scheduled at Nationals Park against the Orioles. Of course, no makeup is going to occur. Next opening day against the Phillies, 4:05 on Thursday. Bob Carpenter says this will be his final year behind the television microphone, and of course, with Masson for the Nationals broadcast. And tonight, right here on the Team 980, 6:45, it's the Wizards hosting the Toronto Raptors, and that's what's trending.
And across to Van Riemsdyk, chipped by Ovechkin, low here to Dubois. And Van Riemsdyk gets the shot through, rebound, he scores! Alex Ovechkin on the rebound! Airson went down! It's 8:88 for the Great Eights with 5:35 to go in the first. It's 1-0 Washington.
John Walton on the call way back on Thursday night. That's right, we weren't on Thursday and Friday. So we have to do due justice. Alex Ovechkin, 888, seven away from breaking the great one's all-time mark, six away from tying Wayne Gretzky at 894, 12 games to go in the regular season. And that's because Alex did not score. We thought he had won. The scoreboard thought he had won. I was obstructed. I can see why they thought that. Instead, it turned out to not be his goal. It was the right call, whatever. It is presented, his Chase of History, by our friends at Main Street Bank. It's your local bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. That's right. Alex did not score on Saturday night. He did have two assists, which, you know, in any other world, that's a great game.
In a one-trick pony world, though.
In a one-trick pony world, boy. By the way, I figured out why Canadian media and maybe Darren Pang said what he said.
They listened to Don Cherry for 20 years?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Don Cherry hate of Russians and hate of Ovechkin for being soft, for being goons, for, you know.
That's so funny. That's two ends of the spectrum right there.
But soft is the main criticism.
Yeah.
But Ovechkin was considered a goon for kneeing people early and for running people. The Don Cherryization, for those that don't know, Don Cherry, longtime legendary Hockey Night in Canada commentator, former head coach of the Boston Bruins.
Current mouth breather.
Yes. Is Don still doing stuff?
No, he stopped doing Hockey Night in Canada back. It was around 2020-ish, okay,
that's
2021.
That's what I thought. I couldn't even remember.
See? Irrelevant.
Yeah. But I guarantee you that's part of, if not a huge reason, that's part of the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Why, you know, people in Canada specifically do not like Alex Ovechkin.
Ah, fired in 2019 for making racist comments about Canadian immigrants during his show.
Okay. I did not remember that at all.
I vaguely remembered. I forgot how bad it was.
Wow. I did not remember that at all. My goodness. Anyway, congratulations to Alex Ovechkin. 888 is the official tally. The Capitals are in Winnipeg tomorrow night for a showdown with the Jets as they battle and jostle for the overall number one seed and the President's Trophy in the NHL. As both teams come into that game, the Capitals with 102 points in 70 games, the Jets 71 games and 100 points. So the Capitals obviously with a leg up, not only points-wise, but also with one game less played, and then it's on to Minneapolis after that. All right, when we return, dum-dum of the day. You probably have seen the video. The viral video to this story, an apology has been made, but is it good enough? The answer, next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping things up here on a Monday before we send you off to Craig Hoffman, who's coming up, and then Wizards basketball at 6:45, Wizards Toronto. You know what time it is as we wrap things up. And before we say goodbye.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Yes. Do you know the name Jim Zullo? Well, now America knows the name Jim Zullo. If you've been paying attention, Jim Zullo is the now former head coach at Northville Central Schools and their high school varsity women's basketball program. They played for the Class D state championship in New York State on Friday night against Lafargeville, I believe is how you say that, but I'm not 100% sure. And if you haven't seen the viral video, as the team was losing 43-37 and therefore losing the state championship, he walked up from behind, grabbed one of his players by her ponytail and yanked the player's ponytail to get her attention. There were all sorts of theories that were offered, such as she wasn't being a good sportsman, she was pouting, what have you. There is no excuse, none at all, especially in 2025, for doing said thing. Not to a man, not to a woman, not to anyone. Period. This isn't Bobby Knight anymore.
Unless you're trying to tackle Derrick Henry with the dreads out of his helmet.
That's fair.
There's only one excuse.
That's fair. Then you could do that. Or in hockey, I guess, when you can beat the crap out of each other
unless you're a goalie.
Unless you're goaltenders, right? We got to get into that at some point. Anyway, Jim Zullo, as you know, the player who is the leading scorer, if you will, or was the leading scorer of the team, and a senior, she was defended by her teammate. Haley Monroe is the girl whose ponytail was yanked and pulled, that everybody's seen. The head coach, Zullo, 81 years old. And then, after pulling her ponytail, got in front of her and started screaming at her to be separated by a teammate who then he started screaming at the teammate. She's the program's all-time leading scorer, but she had fouled out in the game, and they lost. It doesn't matter, guys. He was fired right after the game. The right move, good for the school, bad for an 81-year-old. Think about the stain on his now career. Bad for an 81-year-old to go out that way. But, man, we have to whack you with the dum-dum stick because even though you're 81, sorry, you just can't do that.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Even Don Cherry would have a problem with that, probably. Probably. Maybe. 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 All right, that's going to do it for us. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Anthony Haney alongside. Haney's already causing problems when I ran into him in the hall. Mad
Shocker.
Max, thank you as always. I appreciate
of
you
course.
Making the extra effort for us. Apparently, there's a startling injury admission that you've made in the media.
No comment.
According to The Athletic. I don't have time to get to it, but... It just, here's a quote. It's a little thing that's a big thing.
I have no further comment.
You're not going to tell us?
No.
You're going to open up on the injury list?
I cannot.
All right. We'll have the update on this later on in the week when you rejoin us. Craig's up next. Have a great rest of your Monday. Adios on the team. 980.